Hallelujah. God bless you so much for blessing us. Mommy, you're welcome to Wormsor Town Church. This is your home. You know, the Bible says that I have sheep in other places. So, Mommy, you have people here. Mommy, you're welcome. We love you. You know, before Mommy comes, we have a short video. But before the short video, I have a message for the church. Romans chapter 1. Verse 11, it says that for Paul says something to Romans. He says that I long to see you. So, Mommy, I've been longing to see us. You know, for someone to be longing to see you, it means that there's a special package for us tonight. Yes, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. To the end, he may be what? Established. Established means that you do well in life. You prosper in life. Your CW will increase. Your business will increase. You know, for tonight, just put your phone somewhere. Don't write notes on your phone for tonight. Because sometimes as you are writing notes, a message will come. You try to reply. And you mix that point. Yes.
Just keep clapping. Keep shouting. Let's welcome my pastor, your pastor, E.S. Doctor Joy Flippe, please. Mommy, you're welcome. Mommy, you're welcome.
Hallelujah. Wow. What a change. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the honor of tonight. Thank you for gathering us from all over the place and bringing us here because you have something for us. I pray, Lord, that whatever you have for us tonight, let it land. May we hear, may we see, may we receive help from somewhere because you are here with us tonight. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow. Well, it's been a while since I was here. Not because you are not close to one's heart, but it's just how things are. But I've missed you also, and it's really nice to come and to see what you have done with this place. Ever said, I salute you. Your church is nice. Oh, yes. You have one of the best pastors in Kumasi. Yeah. You know, and I think that if you are in this church, you will be wise to follow him. Yeah. If you follow him, it will take you to a good place. Are you there? So, those of you who are sitting down, I'm talking about your pastor, you are sitting down. I don't know which part of this world you are from. I don't know you. Or you can't hear. Maybe the sound is not working well. When your pastor is being commended or when your pastor is being greeted, you cannot sit down. Please, those of you in front, ask them at the door, Where are you from? We don't do such things here. Okay, they say they are sorry. Hallelujah. In church, we learn things. Amen? Yeah, we learn a lot of things. One of the things we learn how to honor properly. Yeah. Because you see, outside of the church, somebody is honoring, they say, okay, hello, hello. When they turn around, true or not true? True. But in church, we don't do that. We learn how to give honor. And some years from now, you will be being honored. Hallelujah. So God bless you and keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Take your seat. And I cannot start sharing anything without also commending our Father Bishop Dankey Ward Mills. Amen. I don't know
I don't know many people who would take people like us and believe that we can do something. I don't know about you, but me, I don't know many people. I don't know. When you come, you say, I want to dance. So go ahead. You say, I want to do it. Go ahead. I want to do instruments. Go ahead. I want to lead some people. Go ahead. He has made us do things we never knew we could do. How many of you are a bit surprised at yourself? Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised. Yeah. And so we want to salute him tonight and we thank God for his life. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank God. I thank God often that he calls my generation to meet him. Yeah. Are you with me? Like with Jesus, I thank God that I didn't meet Jesus. Because I can see I'd be one of the confused people. If you don't take care, I'm one of those. Hey, or you don't get me. Like those who couldn't be sure. Hey, so I thank God that Jesus came and did all the story before I came. Hey, but with Bishop Doug, I'm glad that I'm in his generation. Hallelujah. So we thank you and we bless you. Our Father, we are grateful. Amen. Take your seat. I have to bring you greetings also from Bishop Patrick. And our personal person. I believe he will be here soon. Oh, please tell this guy he cannot visit me up here. One of the most troublesome creatures. Oh, you cannot get anything to kill them, unless you physically kill them. Oh, they are back there. One day I called Reverend said, I said, Reverend said, these things are worrying me in my house. I need some fast guys. We chase them. We chase them. And there was one we didn't get. Till today. Oh, it has burned. It has burned. Hallelujah. Anyway, he'll be here with us one day soon. Amen. Yeah, amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. I'm very excited to be here. And I have with me here tonight, we have Carter from the GES service. And then I have Lady Pastor Pell coming from the present service. I also have Ohima who was singing coming to us from the Word Encounter service. Amen. I came with a few other pastors. They are just finishing some meeting and then they'll be here with us. Hallelujah. But we dear, we have come. Tell your neighbor, look, I need something from God. So I don't know about you, but don't disturb me at all. Don't disturb me at all. Yeah. Don't disturb me at all. And you know, the theme of our 3-day convention is an interesting one. Help from the hills. We don't worship the hills. Help from the hills is a biblical way of saying, I'm looking up at God for my help. Are you getting it? That's how it was phrased, because in the Old Testament, the temple used to be up on a hill. Yeah. And even in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the fact that it relates the church to a mountain. Are you seeing it? Something that is up there. So when they used to say help from the hills, they were referring to help from God. Now, on this earth, you can get help from places. You can get help from different places, yeah. From different places. But you have to be careful about your source of help. You have to be careful. You see, you can get some help, B. And later you realize that the help was not help. The help had some conditions. They didn't make it very clear. Can I tell you a story? One day, we went somewhere. I don't want to mention the country. We went somewhere to go and launch our father's books in the place and introduce the books to pastors and all that. And the people were very nice. And they were very, very, very helpful. Hey, are you there? More helpful than we will be in Ghana. More helpful. So, as we're moving around, we were different groups. I mean, about each group were two of us in a town and generally moving around. I mean, we're being helped. And I was thinking to myself that, hey, we've never gone to a country and had it cool like that. Every time when we go to a country, you have to gather pastors. It's a lot of work because they don't know you. They're not coming to gather. But here, dear, everything was prepared.
Are you there?
And the days were going. As the days were going, I told my colleagues, something's not right. Something's not right.
This help that we have received
is going to bite us. It's going to bite us from somewhere. Hey! Bite number one. 2 days before we left, I said, let me go and check the bill for this, our hotel that we are staying, me and my colleague. Oh, we knew that, but we don't know anybody there. By all means, you stay in a hotel. They were doing something. I said, what is wrong with these people? Not knowing that. Some translator bit that they had gone to get for us. You didn't tell me anything. You have put him there in the hotel. He has eaten what we have eaten. And you have added his bill to my bill.
Hey!
I went and told my colleague, I said, hey, sis, I told you that this help, you know. This help. Then we're there. Our last meeting was a lot. Nice meeting. Lot of pastors. Then we have reached the place where Charlie, we're about to distribute. That's where we're going to distribute the book. But I saw that some packages be. They're moving around. Meanwhile, this meeting, we're very careful. Let it end 12 o'clock so that we don't have to pay for food and things. Hey, so some package me.
I said, my sister, are you seeing what I'm seeing? She said, I'm seeing what you are seeing. Then I said to her, I said, this bill, we will pay.
Hey! You see, not that we are not grateful for the help, but if you are going to feed the people, will you not tell me? If you want me to pay, will you not tell me? Oh, we finished everything. Did what we could do. Thank you so much for everything. Baba yo, they said baba yo, baba yo. Then we went back to the capital city to catch our flight to come. And that night, before we left, there was now a reckoning. Hey, you people, before you leave, you are oi. Listen. Why am I telling you this story? Because not all help is help. Some of you are collecting help from somewhere that when the payment day comes, it will do you like a... payday will come. I want you to tell your neighbor there's no free cook. Especially if she's a girl, tell her there's no free fried rice. There is no free fried rice. There's none. Fried rice. No free fried rice. Hey. Because if you collect the guy's fried, payday will come. Hey. Hey. You see, there was a time when Tete Kwashi was a big circle. Those of you who know Accra, Tete Kwashi circle was a big circle. That time I was an unbeliever. And I'd gone with friends. We had gone to watch some film in town. And we're coming back late in the night. Hey, are you there? Hey. Charlie, the whole group of friends, we had gone, we're lots. And all of us were equally broke. So to come back, all of us entered the taxi. Must have been about 10 or 12 of us. So as we were sitting in the taxi, from town coming, we reached the Tekwashi circle and we could hear screaming. So we started to debate. Should we stop? We shouldn't stop. This Tekwashi circle is not like it is today. There was no light. It's a big circle. If we stop, and there's trouble. So there was this debate, but we were feeling bad. We can't just pass. Somebody is in trouble. Somebody is screaming. So eventually we told the taxi driver, please, just you have patience for us. Pause and let's go and see. So when the car stopped, the guys among us got down and ran in the direction of the shouting. After 3 minutes, they came back. They said, hey, what has happened? They said when they got there, they met a guy and a girl. The guy said that, from which time she has chopped my fried rice, she has drunk my coke, she has taken my money, she has done, today is payday. She says she no go agree. Said today. And he said, he told her, look, today is payday. Today, dear, you will pay. Hey, am I talking to somebody? I'm saying all this just to tell you that it's not every help that is help. Some of you, when they say, well, let's go over there, there's a man be under the tree, you have to go and give some this, and he'll give you the... Sure. When the payday comes, eh? When the payday comes, you'll be going out of your mind. You don't know that it's part of the payday. It's part. But that is why I am so glad. And I am so blessed. And I am so happy to tell you that as a child of God, as a believer, as somebody who has given your life to Jesus Christ, there is a source of help to which no sorrow is added. There is a source of help that is real help. There is a source of help that is genuine help. Hallelujah. Are you there? God, when he's helping us, he doesn't steal to help us. He doesn't lie to help us. He doesn't tell us half the story. He doesn't do us, when I say darga, do you understand darga? If you are standing by an altar, I should translate it for you. He doesn't do darga things. When he says he's helping, this is how it is. But he also has his terms. His terms are clear. Not like my situation I was telling you. Clear terms. This plus this will do this. This and this will do this. This and that will do that. And that's why these 3 days, me, I don't know if you don't need help, but me, I need help. Hey, I also need help. I need help. Hey, I need help. These 3 days, I'm going to show you two keys, the wildest keys, yeah, to receiving that help. Amen. The help that doesn't bring sorrow. The help that does not depend on what's in your pocket. The help that does not depend on who your family members are. It doesn't depend on your background. The help that is real help. Genuine help. How do we get that help? Take your seat. I'm going to introduce you to two keys. They may look simple, but they are not simple. Two keys. A key opens a door. A key is a very small thing. But I tell you, if you don't have it, your everything will be in the room. You can't get it. Yeah. God is willing to help. He's a source of help. Not only in times of trouble, all the time. But there are two keys you need. You need the key of seeing. And you need the key of hearing. Those two keys, you need them. Seeing and hearing. You may be saying to yourself that, oh, is that all? Please, Tobias, take your time. Take your time. Take your time. The fact that you have eyes doesn't mean you are seeing. I said the presence of eyes doesn't mean that you are seeing. At all. Are you there? The presence of ears doesn't mean you are hearing. Hey, are you there? Last year, I was rushing out of my church to go and meet, I think it was Bishop Ogo who was coming. I was going to meet him. There's a step in my church. I know the church. I was there when it was built. I took the decision that step should be there. My eyes saw the step. But before I saw it, I was flying like a catapult on the carpet. I saw, but I didn't see. I saw, but I didn't see. Are you there? Has something done me before? You've seen it too. You saw it, but you didn't see. Another time, I saw something drop. It didn't look like a snake. My son was in my room. He said, that's a snake. I said, it cannot be a snake. He said, snake cannot be a snake. Snake cannot be a snake. Snake. We're there. 24 hours later, it was a snake. It was a living snake. The eyes had seen, but the eyes, it was like, I say. Ask your neighbor, has your eyes, have they done you like this before? Your eyes, have they done you like this? Like, hey. As for the hearing, it's even worse. How many of us, you have sat in a lecture before? You heard the whole lecture. But after the lecture, nothing. As if you were not even there. The one that's even worse is when you hear. But what you hear, that's not it. Have you ever tried this joke before? They will line up some 10 people. Then you say a word in the ear of one person. And that person will say to number two. Number two will say to number three. When it gets to number 10, it's not the same at all. At all. So I beg you, pa, seeing and hearing is not like it is. As we are here, I'm preaching, some people can't see me. Some people can't see. Some too, they cannot hear. Even as we are talking. Hey! Can you ask your neighbor, what are you seeing? You see, depending on what you see, it will determine what happens to you in the next 3 days. Depending on what you see. If you just see a nice old lady who likes young people, that's the blessing you'll get. Yeah. If you just see, it depends on what you see. It depends on what you see. Yeah. Are you there? Depending on what you hear. Look, you can say something. The person will hear something different. Have you not seen somebody who's annoyed with you? You don't understand why. What you said and what they heard, different. 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 But tonight and tomorrow and Thursday, I want to speak to you about seeing and hearing. Because we need help. And these are the two keys. Now let's go into the scripture. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. The hearing ear, she said there are some ears that cannot hear. And the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Do you know that an eye that does not see? Let's look at the natural. If you see a blind person, be merciful. Be merciful. It's very difficult. If you like, close your eyes right now and get up that you are going home with your eyes closed and let us see whether you reach. Before we are aware, you have walked into the wall. Is it true or is it not true? Yeah. All because your eyes are not seeing well. Those of us who wear glasses, we understand what you are saying. How many glasses wearers are there? You are young. You are coming. You are coming. You are coming. Yeah. All of us have our own different... Brother, whether you remove it or not, you are wearing glasses. No, but what I'm trying to share something with you. When we take our glasses off, we can see small, but it's different. If you take off your glasses, you will not hear properly. If you like, do it now. Just remove it and listen. And you see that suddenly you are not hearing me properly. Yeah.
If you take off your glasses, you can't hear well. You can't hear well. You can hear, but you can't hear well. Yeah. If you remove your glasses, you're not sure of what you are seeing. You're not sure. Even when you don't need glasses, there are times when you're not sure of what you are seeing. But the thing is very far. The thing is small. You can't see. You're adjusting. Like your pastor, he was doing something. I said, brother, it's glasses you need. It's not anything. Are you in the house? So when you cannot see well, you need help, but you are not able to get the help because you cannot see well. We can be in this room. I've told you already, the level of blessing you get now to Thursday depends on what you are seeing. Depends on what you are seeing. Yeah. Depends on what you are seeing. Yeah. It also depends on what you are hearing. Hey, are you there? Those of you who walk around with your earphones in your... You can easily die. No, because a car is coming. You would normally save yourself, but you didn't hear. Because, Charlie, you... the thing was nice. So you didn't hear what you are supposed to hear. Are you... allow me to take my time and introduce myself. Allow me. Because if you don't get the foundation, everything else, you will not get it. You will not get it. So we are here for 3 days to talk about seeing and hearing. Two major things that God uses to influence your life, to change your life, to bless your life, to help you on your way. Am I talking to somebody? Now, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, you should remember it's Matthew 13, 13. The Bible talks about people who seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. That's a candidate for the devil to beat. Because in the parable of the sower, where the Bible says that a sower went out to sow, it says that some of the seed fell on the wayside. And then it says the birds of the air came for it. When Jesus was explaining that parable, he said that these people who the thing is on the wayside are those who do not understand. So they heard the word, but they did not understand. So the devil came for it. And there are many of us who are sitting in the bondage of poverty, sitting in the bondage of sickness, sitting in the bondage of difficulty, because we are hearing something, but the ability to hear that we have heard is not there. It's not there. It's not there. I am believing, brother, you will hear in a way that you will understand. You can hear the car say, pee, pee, but if you don't understand that, it means a car is behind me and I am in the way. It can remove your life from you. Yeah. You heard the pee, pee, but you didn't understand. They understand that it means I am in danger. Move. So you were arguing. Are you in the church? Sit down. I'm still preaching. Sit down. Are you understanding so far? Hey, my church members have come. Please allow them to enter. Who is that trying to stop us? Hey, before we were. Okay. Mess. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody tonight? Are you understanding what I'm trying to share with you? Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. And when you don't hear, it makes you take certain, you know, moves. Makes you do certain things that you shouldn't do. Am I preaching to somebody? Wow. You see, if we're sitting here, I want to share something with you. When I finish, I know some of you will be angry with me, but it's a sign of your lack of understanding. Anyway, never mind. You see, if somebody was sitting here and the person cannot see or hear, then no matter what I do here, the person's face will be bummed. I wish somebody knows how to pretend with a blank face for me so that you do it for us to see. Just say, can you do it? The smile is still there, small.
Can you do? Come and do it for me. Do it for me and let me see. No, just bomb. No. So I'll be shouting, "Hey, something is coming." Bomb. Are you seeing it? Because the person cannot see. Hello? Person cannot see. Cannot hear. I'll be saying, "Hello." Some of you, when the word of God is coming, this is your face. This is your face. This is your face. A face of zero understanding, zero seeing. Thank you, my darling. Yes. That is why preaching can be going on. You have no reaction. Because you are like the equivalent of a physically blind or physically deaf person. Understanding is far from you. You can't even tell. Because when the person's eye is closed, we can even do a drama here. The face will still be. Because you can't hear and you can't see. And so you are sitting here with your eyes open, with your ears open, and yet you are in the presence of the word and you just... That's why when I see people when I'm preaching, I want to slap you so you wake up. Hoping that the slap, you see, like your TV when it's not working, then you give it, boom, then you, hey, so that you come back. Are you in the house? Sit down. I need you to understand today that we are talking about something very important. And today, I'm going to show you how seeing and hearing, how it can lead to a great change. A great change. Are you there? Many of us, we need a great change. We need a great change. Hallelujah. Let's start by reading Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 3 to verse 8. As he journeyed, this is the story of the conversion of Saul. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will you have me do?" The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into the Damascus. Please, can somebody lift this thing down here for me? Oh, let them hear your guys speak it. Yes. Powerful. I want to see your eyes inside well. All right. This is a well-known story. This is the conversion of Saul. And I want you to see something. Saul was somebody who he really believed himself. He was a leader among the Jews. He was always in the synagogue. He always felt that, I know what I'm doing. And when the Christians began, the followers of Christ, he felt that these people, they have lost their way. And they are misleading people. So let me clear them from there. And he began, you see, I'm showing you somebody who was very zealous. I tell you, if we had half the zeal of Paul, of Saul, our lives would be different. He was wrong, but he was sincerely wrong. I think you get what I mean. He really, really believed. Yeah, he really believed that the people were not correct. Are you seeing it? So he went out of his way. "I'm going to arrest them. They should give me letters. I'm going to Damascus. I'm going to also there to, I'll go and arrest the Christians and I'll jail them and some of them will kill them." He had plans. All of a sudden, as he was walking on the road, the Bible says that first, a light. He saw something. A light. He saw a light. You see, some of you, you've seen a light, but you didn't know it was the light. Are you there? Yeah. The first thing he saw was the light. And when he saw that light, he knew it was not ECG. He knew it was not a gem. He knew that, Charlie, this light, eh? You see, he understood the light he was seeing, that this light I'm seeing is something else. And the Bible says that immediately he fell to the ground. So he had already responded to what he saw before he now heard a voice. And he heard the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, he had, you know, the man was converted before he fell on the ground. I said, who are you, Lord? How come he knew he was talking to the Lord? Some of us said, we are so deaf, eh? God speaks, but we don't know. I came to inform you that God talks to each and every one of us. Yes, each of us, he shows us something. Each of us, he says something. But we'll say, I just felt it was my mind. It just occurred to me that it was just, I told you that how you see the thing, that's how you receive it. So since to you, it was just, oh, it was my mind. It was just a feeling. That's why you didn't know. The light was as sharp as what Saul saw. But you did, because to you, it was just a feeling. It's just a feeling. But if you had recognized it, as Saul recognized it, and he said, he recognized that, hey, this thing that I'm seeing, this thing that I'm feeling, it's not me. It's not me. Some of you are there, you are walking around, and the Lord has been there telling you, this thing, don't do it. Or, this thing, go and do it. Then you are there, Tibor. No. You think, oh, I just thought it was my mind. You could also have thought it was his mind. After all, lightning is also a sign of rain coming. He could have said it was lightning. Nowadays, it's raining a lot. Every day is raining. So I think it's just the next rain that is being prepared. Wow, look at something. But it was the seeing that he needed to see, so that the hearing he will also hear. Because you have forgotten, it brought a dramatic change. One of the most dramatic changes of a human being. One of the most dramatic conversions is this one. The man was not going to church to go and say, oh, you people. He was going there to catch people, kill people, jail people. He was on a wild mission. And he saw something. Somebody, God has shown you signs. Shown you signs. Shown you signs. He has shown you signs of how much he loves you. You have done nonsense, he still loved you. You did nonsense again, he still loved you. You did nonsense again. How much more? How many more times does he have to do it for you to see something? I'm talking to somebody. You cannot see. You can't see that even your very, the fact that you are still alive, the nonsense you have done in this earth, you should have been dead by now. Yeah. You see, you need to admit who you are. Many of us, we can't even see ourselves. If we could see ourselves, the way we would love Jesus. Are you here? I used to tell God that me, if I was going to call me, I won't call me. You know, so. I'll go. Please. Because, Charlie, hey, when they say it's time to fast, I go and pray first. Because, Charlie, fasting is the MMP. I know you like fasting. I'm just being honest with myself. Yeah. Yeah. I know you, dear. You are called unto 40 days fasting. May the Lord bless you. After service, come and lay hands on me. Sure. No, I'm just saying something. If we could see how we are, you are sitting in church, you envy. Oh. See how your people have made their faces as if they are saints. You are not any saint anywhere. Nothing. Nothing. Hey, I'm talking to some people. If you could see yourself, you will know that the you that is standing there is a living miracle. If you could see where you come from, the hole he went and removed you from.
Some of us, when we look at our families, we know that challenge. When I see my extended, I say, hey God, you like me, thank you. Because my type, there's not two of us in the family. No. Hey, my family people's share. They are learned people who chale. Half of them speak British English. The other half they speak conk gun.
Conk.
Elective gun.
Are you there?
So when I look at it, I can see that, hey, Lord, where I'm walking, it's a wonder to me. It's a wonder to me. It's not a deserved thing, it's a wonder. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon?
This evening?
Yeah. Saw something. Tonight I want to ask you, what have you seen? What have you seen? Amen? Because it's one of the ways that God helps us. Some of you who are here on campus, you have no business being here. According to a certain things, you shouldn't be here. Please ask your neighbor, should you be here? When you look at the... shouldn't be. Am I talking to somebody here? So when you look at it, it's a sign to you, and that sign has a meaning. And that thing, if you were to go into it, you will see the help of God. You will see that is the help of God. Yeah. Saul rightly interpreted that light. Are you there? Look at it. Who are you, Lord? Who told you? Who told him is the Lord? Who told him? You have forgotten that the Jews were the ones who killed Jesus. And he belonged to them. Which Lord is he talking about? But Charlie, when he saw, he didn't start saying that, listen, I'm a Pharisee. Born, what, circumcised on the what day? Is it eighth day? No, he didn't start those things. Amen. Yeah. Sit down. What have you seen? You see, there were some other guys with him. The Bible says in the seventh verse that they heard the voice. They saw nothing. We don't hear those guys again. They were with him. They were present. But they didn't see anything. I said, they saw no man. They just heard the voice. Nothing happened to them. Nothing. Maybe as they were there. We don't know them again in the story. They were probably the ones left to go and report what had happened to you. So, what you see, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 3, Moses, he had gone through a lot of things in life. He had walked in the palace of the king. He had grown up in Pharaoh's house. In those days, education was among the Pharaohs. By the grace of God, we went to work in Egypt. It was a whole school. Yeah. Come and see pyramids that they built without one bit of mortar. The stones, one stone, 19 tons. And they have dragged them. It was the center of learning. They did things that today, if we ask one contractor to build one pyramid, we will really hear it. But remember, in those days, they didn't have all the equipment we have. It was the center of learning. They showed us bodies that were lying, the mummified corpses of past pharaohs that they have embalmed. It's still lying there. You see everything. It was the technology they used, and the bodies are still there. Thousands of years, and they have created some beautiful place and put them in down there so that some of us, you go and pay and go, what you can say, free. It's a whole industry. Yeah. When you come as a visitor, you are amazed. You're amazed. I still remember what our tour guide told us. Our tour guide told us that the people who are selling different things, he said, when they approach you, this one is not part of the preaching, it's just advice for free. He said, when they approach you and they say, this thing is $10, he said, do not even answer. He said, if you are not, but do not answer no. Do you know why? He said, if you answer, they'll follow you because they say that your mind can be changed. They will under counsel you and you will buy. So don't answer. Then they know that no door is open. Hey. Push your neighbor and say, hey. Anyway, that's just something. But what I'm saying is that that was Moses' background. People who knew things that even now, people don't know them. That's where he was brought up. And then life happened to him. Yeah, life happened. Are you there? You remember his story? He went and killed some people. He had to run. You know, some of you, when life happens, then you have lost all your footing. Now you don't get up again. And now you start talking nonsense. You start to say that it's because God doesn't love you. It's because, what are the other excuses? Because of where I come from. My family. My school. My lecturers. Are you there? I'm talking to some people. But Moses, my Lord and my God, hallelujah. Moses was therefore at the backside of the desert. I don't know where the backside of the desert is, but what I do know is that the back of nothing is good. If we go to the back of this world, it will not be good. It's always a place of bola and things. Yeah. So I don't know. They say he was at the backside of the desert, as he found the scripture for us. Look at it. He led the flock. So he was now walking after sheep. The most annoying creatures to work for with a sheep, eh? I have not seen a creature that doesn't have the answer like that. Unless maybe chickens. Oh, no. And this was his work. I mean, you have been reduced from Pharaoh's house to come and follow these things. But you see, it was because God knew that from here, he was training him how to handle the Israelites. That's why all the Israelites there in Kwasi Asem that they were doing in Nano, even God got tired before Moses. Because he had been following sheep. After following these foolish animals. Are you in the church? You don't know that sheep are very foolish. Before I started preaching full time, that was my work. As an animal nutritionist, yes. If you take sheep and you take goats, you put them in the same room. In the night, the goats will stand on the sheep. They're so stupid. The goats don't like wet floors. They don't like, so they will stand on the sheep, will stand there. They will sit there for them to stand on them. You'll be there, you are wondering, why are my sheep not multiplying? Not knowing that night, the goats are crucifying them. Jimmy Keke. Defend yourself, Keke, you nothing. Oh. So this man found himself looking after sheep. But one day, he had taken them to the backside of the desert. Let's go and see. There's nothing growing. Let's go and see if perchance we'll get something. And as he walked along the way, the Bible says he saw a bush. He saw a bush burning. Because you and I know the end of the story, that's why we cannot understand that it's a marvelous thing. But you need to understand that in many parts of the world, bush is burnt to make way for the new growth that is coming. So the presence of a burning bush shouldn't really be anything. But the Bible says that, look, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I'm telling you that he was looking at the thing, and he just saw that something didn't add up. Yeah. This fire is a normal fire in a normal bush, but something does not add up. And that was enough for him to take a turn and move towards the fire. And then again, he heard a voice. Remove your shoes. This is holy ground. There are people here tonight. God has been trying to attract your attention using some things, but you have refused to see.
Oh, my refs, please come. You cannot be at the back of the room.
Wow. Are you in the church? He saw something.
You're welcome, Reverend Isaac. Lady Reverend Yvonne, you're welcome.
Hallelujah. And today I want to tell you that God has been showing you something. Yeah. Yeah. God has been showing you something. You have been crying for help for a long time. And God has been showing you something. But some of you don't have the ability to see. That's why we have this convention. After this convention, you will see. Some of you, during this convention, you will see. Amen. You see, you are looking for spooky things. Do you understand when I say spooky things? Occasionally, God does spooky things, but most of the time, He speaks to us in the language that we understand every day. This man, that's why this man was a shepherd. And that's why he showed him a burning bush. He was not a doctor in a hospital. Are you there? Sit down, sit down, sit down. We want me to end my preaching, but I'm not finished. I'm talking to you tonight. Because I need your eyes to open. I need you to see something. You see, it's a very basic message, but let me tell you. For instance, young man, what are you talking so much about? Should I even come and take over? It's possible. It's possible. Because what I'm talking about, this kind of behavior is what will not let you see or hear it. Numbers chapter 30. You see, now we are coming to the crux of the problem. Some of us, not only are we not seeing, but the thing we are seeing is a wrong something. Numbers 30. Moses had sent out 12 men. He gave them a commission. Go and look at the promised land. This is land God has promised them, just like how he has promised us things. What has God promised us? So many things. Bible says he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Means everything we need he has provided. He made his promises plenty. Are you there? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have. I mean, he has done and over. But we are looking elsewhere. So Moses sent out these guys and said, go and look at the place and then bring us some of the fruit and come and describe the place to us. The idea was that so that we'll prepare to go to war. When the people came, they started describing, okay. And the description was fine. We got to the place. We saw that there was food. It was a land of milk and honey. But I know that God loves me. I know that, but as soon as you add the but, you are canceling everything. The people who are working on this day, they should try to catch up. Are you there? They don't want me to go inside, but so I just jump to there. And, I cannot struggle with you. You see, I look at something. Verse 33 explains it all. Because, you see, Caleb had gone with them. He and Joshua, they had gone together. And Caleb began to say that, yes, there are enemies there, but we can take the place. They say, hey, we cannot. Then they look at why they say we cannot. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Tell your neighbor, hey, Mogok, hey, Mogok. Are you here? They went. They saw something. But there was something they should have seen that they didn't see. Caleb saw it. Caleb told them that God is with them. So if God is with them, whether you are giant or you are what or you are there, it doesn't matter. We are well able. But they now said, in our own eyes, we were as grasshoppers. And there are people sitting in this room tonight. As you are here, you don't see yourself as a child of God. You don't see yourself as blessed. You don't see yourself as an overcomer. You don't see yourself as somebody to whom all things pertain to life. And you see yourself as a mistake. As a, I don't have. Maybe one of the sentences that kills my spirit most. I don't have. I can't. I don't have. Hey. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Then the most annoying part. And so we were in their sight. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? You were afraid of the people, so you didn't have any conversation with them. How do you know that they saw you as grasshoppers? You are a grasshopper who is grasshopping. No, don't bring yourself and tell us that somebody. And today's church is full of grasshoppers. I said today's church, full of grasshoppers. People who, you see, you become a grasshopper when you look at yourself. Minus God. You minus the grace is a grasshopper. Tell your neighbor, you minus the grace is grasshopper. Then tell the other neighbor, you minus Christ is grasshopper. It is the presence of Christ in our lives. What he has done, that's what makes the difference. So the children of Israel, it was God walking with them that made the difference. But these guys had removed their eyes from that and were looking at themselves as they stood. The giant, 20 feet tall, and me, 5 points. Hey,
5 feet four. We are grasshopper. We are grasshopper. What for Christ are come here the challenge? We are grasshopper. Are you in the house? You see, today I can see that even the hearing, I won't reach them. Mercy. Mercy. Sit down. So that's why I keep telling you to sit down. So I'm trying to preach. But I want to show you another person. We'll meet him in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll meet him from verse 32. In fact, we meet him earlier. The interesting thing is that this guy was also a shepherd. A shepherd. He was the last born of a number of guys. In fact, when you read some of the historical, not biblical, but historical accounts, they say that David's mother was different from the mother of the others. Eliab and Co.
And they say that that was the reason. So it's like the man's wife, I don't know if she had passed, whatever. And then he had gone and had this one. So there was some friction, which was why when someone came and said, bring your children, the man, he didn't want problems. He just brought, are you there? Uh-huh. Then it's like, you, this boy, Charlie, a lot of disdain has come to us as a family. Yeah, because of you. That's why the father had just packed him somewhere. If anybody should have thought he was a grasshopper, it should have been him. But David didn't have that mind. And you also need to change your mind. I said, you also need to change your mind. Yeah. Your mind is what is not allowing you to receive something. Now, David had had a number of experiences, and we remember that eventually someone came, anointed. So many things had happened to him. And then we have the scenario where his father sends him to go and see how things are going with his brothers. And when he gets there, Goliath has appeared on the scene. And every day, the Israelites were running away from Goliath. And there was a lot of mess. And then David arrives there. And when David comes, in fact, his brother is not happy with him. When he comes, because his brother says, Charlie, you are just coming to disturb. But eventually, Saul hears that somebody has come who says that he can take on he can take on Goliath. So Saul said they should bring the look at this fresh boy. Young boy. Fine boy. They just, you know, no macho, no nothing. Now, so said, please listen. We are sorry, please. It can happen. The person you are going to fight is a man of war. He's been a man of war from his youth. But I want you to pay attention to David's words, because his words show something. You see, Saul told him, 1 Samuel 17, in verse 33, that you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, because you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 35. Hey, I'll meet somebody tonight. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. You see, all those guys in the army, they were afraid because they were seeing the height and the size of the giants. But David saw something else. David saw an uncircumcised Philistine challenging his God. And to him, an uncircumcised Philistine is like an animal, the lion and the bear, that he was able to. So based on what he was seeing, he was able to rise up. And he finished the guy. He finished him totally. Some of you, your mind is your greatest enemy. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, it says that, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as long as your mind tells you, I'm to be pitied. My kid is very, very sad. Nothing good can ever come out of my life. Nothing works for me. Every day I'm touching doesn't work. Have mercy on me, just give me something smaller. For as long as your thinking is like that, you have made yourself a grasshopper. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will slap you. The Holy Spirit, he has a way of making us see, you know, like, when I say slap you, you know, like, the, I'm thinking of this TV that's not working, then, bam, then, everything falls into me. Yeah. Oh, you have not owned some like that before. Hey. You see, when you knock it, it's recently, I had this, what do you call it? Remote. Every day when I go out, I've forgotten that the battery is dead. But when I come back, it will come. And tonight, I am believing God that he's going to slap some of us. Hey! Not a slap. God, he doesn't slap us to kill us all. But a slap that will fall, cause things to fall in the right place. Because you need to see something different. You need to see the hope that has entered your life because of Jesus. You need to see how you are free from sin, not because you are free from sin, but because he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You need to see that in spite of how we are, we have boldness to come before the throne of God, that we may obtain grace and find mercy to help us in time of need. You need to see who you really are. Who you really are. Because if you can see it, there will be a change. Oh, yes. I said there will be a change. What kind of change? Some of us are not doing well because we are afraid of everything. Oh. But when you begin to see who is working with you, I don't know, some of you, if there's a last born here who was in the same school with his brothers, as you arrive as a fresher, and they call, one small boy, your size is even smaller than the rest, but because you got some two big brothers in another, you don't move. Because, Charlie, oh, please, oh, please. The story is told of a man of God called Lester Sumrall. He used to live in the supernatural so much. And one night he was in his room, and he heard a lot of commotion in his house. So he came down from upstairs. And when he came, somebody had scattered his whole hall. Turned the chairs upside down, pushed the tables, done everything, this and that and that and that. And then suddenly he saw a dark figure in the corner. He said, oh, it's you, eh? He said, put the things back before you leave. And he went back upstairs to sleep. Next day when he came, everything was where he left it the day before. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because he knew who he was in Christ. He knew who he was in Christ. The Bible says that he will bow. Satan will bow. You have given Satan a glorious position in your life. That's why he can be feeding you with those lies. He has told that, hey, you see how the men in your family, they have died by the time they are 40. You too, you have swallowed it. You should have risen up to tell him that minus me and from me, it has ended. It's not up to you to end my life. Oh, you don't know that it's not up to him to end your life. It's not up to him to end your life. Not at all. Please ask him, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? You see, as we move around there, it's only that he has not opened your eyes to see you. If he opens your eyes for you to see what is moving with you, you'll be cool. Yeah. You'll be very cool. By the grace, I've traveled a lot. But I never liked flying. It's just that it's the only way to get to where I'm going. So one day, I was talking to Bishop Hodge.
And I said to him, oh, Bishop, I'm going to travel. I'm going to call you to pray for me. He said, oh, I'm pray, cry. So, because me, as I'm going, me, my covers are tight. Hey. So I said, oh, Bishop, I'm going. Then he said something to me. Every time you move, three angels move with you. And they are on the flight with you. So I said, really? I was encouraged. So when I went on this particular, some years ago, when I went on this particular flight, it was one of the rough ones. Yeah, sometimes you are going over. And I said, Lord, I don't like this thing. And then I just heard the Holy Spirit say, look. When I looked, I saw angel number one. He said, look over there. I saw number two. He said, where is the third? I said, look at it over the wing. I turned and I slept. From that day, till today, the plane can be doing chaskele. It's like they are rocking me to sleep. It just said, it's because you don't know what is with you. When you sit down and you open that book to study, the Holy Spirit is wishing that you would just ask him a question. Holy Spirit, can you just guide me? Can you show me what I should? Oh, he'll be there for you. I said, he'll be there. Yesterday, somebody texted me. The person said, I have my final defense tomorrow, but I've just discovered a major mistake in my thesis. I'm almost afraid to go. Please pray. So I said, oh, Lord, when you were on earth, you made blind eyes see. Tomorrow, make seeing eyes blind. Oh, this evening before I came, I got a text from her. She said, Mommy, it's over. She said, they never asked me one question. They never saw the phone. No question came from there. Oh, yes. So my question for you is that, so this Jesus, is it not the same Jesus that we are? So is it because my name is Joy Bruce? No. What are you seeing? That's it. What are you seeing? You know, we are going to pray for a few minutes. I mean, we are finishing today, but we have two more days. What I want you to ask God for is for the ability to see. Do you understand me? The ability to see whatever the scene will be. Because it can be an angel. But it can also be a light. It can also just be an understanding. It can be anything. The ability to see. You're going to ask God. Somebody, you have been in a problem for some time. Tonight, God is going to show you something.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Tonight he's opening some eyes.
I want
just softly. When you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, there's no shouting. Oh, open our eyes tonight. Somebody, some scales are falling from your eyes. Your spiritual eyes, your spiritual blindness is ending now. Somebody, you are seeing the wrong thing. You are seeing the wrong thing. But tonight, the Lord is just touching you. You are going to begin to see. Correct our vision. In the name of Jesus. Correct our vision. Oh, yes. There's a man in the Bible. His name is Gideon. God called Gideon and God gave him a commission. And Gideon said to the Lord, he said, how can you call me? My tribe is the smallest in there, in Israel. And my clan is the smallest in my tribe. And my father's house is the smallest in my clan. And God said to him, you mighty man of valor. That's how God saw him. And he went on to accomplish things. And there's somebody here tonight with the mind of Gideon. That, oh, you are some small something from a small place and nothing correct and nothing can happen. That mind is being removed from you now in the name of Jesus. The angel said to him, you mighty man of valor. You are a mighty man. You are a mighty person in the presence of God, in the house of God. Receive that change now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And that's why we are singing, open the eyes of my heart. It's a spiritual thing. Open it, open it, open it, open it. Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Ibu, you cannot do this here. You can't do this here at all.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 to see you higher lifted up.
Oh, Jesus.
Shining oh, Jesus. The light of your glory.
Oh, Jesus.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Oh, yes.
To see you.
Tonight I want to pray for some people. You desire to marry. You've been, but something in you tells you you're not married. Just come. Just come. I'm going to pray. Just come. I came to inform you that it's not the most beautiful girl or the most handsome guy who marries. You just go to the next wedding and see. You even be saying to yourself that, who? How come? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just come. Come quickly. Just going to pray for you. Just going to pray for you. Just going to pray for you. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Father, correct our vision. Correct our vision. Correct our vision. Correct our vision. Correct our vision, Lord. Correct our vision, Lord. It's not done with us yet.